One of the things that I would like to talk a little bit about today is basically things that we already know. It's one of the beautiful things about God's word is that we could talk about these things, whether we've been talking about them for the last decades or last week. We could go over them constantly. God tells us that we have to bring these things back to our remembrance. We have to constantly speak about them, about God's word, because it is God's word. And it is He who is speaking to us. And one of the nature of the Bible is that God repeats Himself over and over and over and over again throughout the whole Bible. He speaks of grace throughout the whole Bible. He speaks of judgment. He speaks of all these things. And He repeats Himself constantly in the Bible. Because, you know, by humanly speaking, you know, we're not, speak for myself, I'm not very smart. You know, so God, He has to really drive it home to us. He drives it home. But I want to speak a little bit about May 21. We're way past May 21 now. Almost 2 years now have passed. And many people, I spoke to a few people who believe nothing happened on that day. Nothing happened. It was just another day. Nothing happened. Let's move on. Many people have well passed this day. They have moved on with their lives. Some have gone back into the church. Some don't want to speak about it. Some, you name it. Is that really so that nothing happened on that day? The Bible uses an example when Chris speaks about it a lot. In the book of Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat of the fruit, you will die. Now, they disobeyed God, didn't they? Did they fall down dead right then and there? No, they did not. They didn't fall down dead, but God insists that in the day you eat of this fruit, you will die. It's the day, it's that time you do it, you will die. But of course we know that didn't happen. They went on, Adam went on to live to be, how long? 930 years? But something happened to Adam and Eve in that day when they rebelled against God. Spiritually they died. It was a spiritual judgment. So why does it seem so impossible that God cannot bring a spiritual judgment upon us, upon the churches of our day? It can happen, and it has happened. So there are those who said that nothing had happened. But then there are many too who have, though they refuse to speak about judgment, the scriptures in the Bible regarding judgment day, the end of the world. They don't want to deal with that anymore, but it's in the Bible, isn't it? It's there in the Bible for us all to read, to study over and over and over again. I could speak for myself that many things in the Bible that when I first heard it, I didn't understand it. It went right over my head. But you keep studying. But God in His mercy gave me a little understanding of some things. So we continue to study. We continue to study these verses in the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, that's a very familiar verse to us. God tells us, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Where are we going to look? In the Bible. We're looking in the Bible of things regarding the end of the world. We ought to look at it. And it goes on in verse 13. Nevertheless, we there believe as true believers, we according to His promise, look. There's another word, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, where are we looking? In the Bible, it's a very intense look. We search the scriptures. We look to see if God will teach us anything regarding pointing to the end of the world. In this few verses, he's speaking about how he's going to destroy the universe. The whole universe is going to be destroyed. We're in the heavens. Heavens is plural. Everything you see out there on that last day, the planets, galaxies, everything is going to be destroyed. And we're looking that God in His mercy might give us information regarding this day. We're searching the scriptures as Bereans did. And verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is God's command to us, to look for these things. Looking. And those who have dismissed May 21, what do you do about, for instance, and there's many other verses, Ecclesiastes. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Remember that very familiar passage? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And we're going to start reading in verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart, which are the true believers, where the wise discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him what it shall be? What do you do with these verses? That the true believers know time and judgment. And we are going to know about the end of the world. That they will not surprise the true believers like in the flood of Noah's day. God told them, gave him information about the flood of that day, which destroyed the earth of that day. Well, it does destroy the surface of the earth. Let's go back there for a second. In Genesis 6, my point is the true believers will know these things. We misunderstand a couple of things, but the true believers will know these things. And we know that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He was a true saved man. God saved him. And he knew the time of the flood. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. See, God is making a point there that Noah saved by grace. And here God is about to destroy the world of his day. And God did not hide this information from him. God let Noah know what he was about to do. Why would he operate any differently in our day? He wouldn't do that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible clearly tells us that. Look at verse 13 of Genesis 6. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Here God now is telling Noah what he is about to do. He is about to destroy the world with a flood, which it didn't happen till decades later. But here God is informing him what he is about to do. Remember, the true believers know time and judgment. Here God now is telling Noah what he's about to do. The time and judgment. See how it goes? And in verse 17 of the same chapter, and behold, here God now is telling, behold, God is taking full responsibility for what he's about to do. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And you could read the entire account of that judgment. For instance, if you go over to Genesis 7, verse 4, for yet 7 days, 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. God is taking full responsibility for it. In verse 5, and Noah did according unto all that Jehovah commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And you could just read the entire account where God did what he said he would do. And he informed Noah what he was about to do. And look at Abraham. I think in Genesis 18 or 19, Here God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? And he didn't hide it. Why would he operate any differently in our day? That here, God's people, the ones who God has saved, will he not let us know from the Bible what he's about to do? To destroy the world? It will not come upon the true believer as a thief. We're going to know a great deal about this great day of the end of the world, Judgment Day. How could it not be that the true believers have some information about it from the Bible? God doesn't operate that way. We shouldn't dismiss the information which is coming from the Bible and move on with our lives. We should honestly look at these things from the Bible and check it out and see if this is really so what God's word is teaching to us. And there's many, many other verses. We look at Amos. Amos chapter 3, remember that passage? Chapter 3, verse 1. Here it says, hear this word that Jehovah has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare? I think one of the ways this word snare is used is like it's a trap. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin? This word gin is a, I think it's the word trap or snare. For him shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city? And a trumpet is used for warning. Blown in the city, and the people shall not be afraid. Shall there be evil in the city, and Jehovah hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So you see, God tells us there in verse 7, he will do nothing except he revealed his secret to his servants the prophet. He will let his people know what he is about to do. He will let us know from the Bible, not by a dream or a vision or some other means of that manner. He will let us know from the Bible what he is about to do. You see, so he set the trap and many people fall into it. That gin, that trap, that snare. And it's so sad that many are going to succumb to the false, go back in the churches and totally dismiss what God has shown us from the Bible. That we're past the tribulation period now, and many are wondering, many might think they're being deceived or deluded or a trick. No. See how God operates. If you look through the Bible, how he operates, he says something, and maybe decades have gone by, seemingly nothing happened. But did it? No. We just simply wait upon the Lord, and God will bring all these things to pass. So we shouldn't walk away from this information. Now, sure, you can't tell someone what to do, but we should listen to the Bible. You know, God will keep us. He'll guide us. And he will give us more information, I believe, from the Bible when he's ready to do so. And when you think about it, how long are any one of us have to live in this life? We don't know. Right here in the Bible for the last couple of years, how many people have died at relatively young ages? How many people? Our life in this world is just for a brief moment. So we patiently wait upon Jehovah. He will do what he says he will do, no question. You know, we have need of patience, as the Bible tells us. We wait upon God. Any one of us could be taken in death tonight. Any one of us. And how long have we lived? How long is 70 years? If you could live 1,000 years times two, how long is that? It's a brief moment. Very, very brief. We're in this life. So we shouldn't be troubled or worried or, you know, no, we shouldn't be that way. We wait. When the Lord Jesus comes on that final day, the last day, How quickly are we going to forget this life? Just like that. Just like that. We're going to forget all this. Remember, God tells us this world will not come into mind or be remembered anymore. So when he comes physically on the cloud of glory, God tells us in Corinthians, in a moment, the true believers, I believe it's going to be very fast, in the twinkling of an eye, the true believers are going to receive their glorified spiritual body. And will we remember this life? Remember, now God is from everlasting past to everlasting future. And there we are with him forevermore. How long is this life? It makes 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years very brief in this life. Very brief. And we can't wait upon God. Look at Enoch, for instance. God tells us Enoch lived how long? 365 years. 365 years. Wow. And we know God took him. But 365 years compared to what? 70, the Lord says. By reason of strength, 80. How long is this life? We can't endure for a little bit. Hardship. You know, God keeps us. He's guiding our way. And we should simply wait upon God. We wait. Move on a little bit further. In the book of Daniel, remember, God is the one who has to reveal these things to us from the Bible. As we know, in the book of Daniel, I believe, chapter 2, we of our own minds cannot understand things in the Bible. Yeah, we study and we pray for wisdom, and we wait upon God to open our understanding regarding the calendar in the Bible, the secret things that is hid from our eyes that, humanly speaking, we can't understand of our own. As we study, God in his mercy, you know that God has given us, by his mercy, he has opened, unlocked the calendar of the Bible to us. No one is not smart enough to figure the calendar of the Bible out. God had to open the eyes of his people to the calendar of the Bible. That calendar of the Bible, I believe, is very accurate. Many have dismissed it, but no one person or people could never unlock that calendar in the Bible. It is humanly impossible for any person, no matter how smart you might be, or you could put all the supercomputers together in the world, could not unlock the calendar in the Bible. God had to open the eyes of his people to this calendar of the Bible. And here in Daniel chapter 2, God has given us a very important thing here. He says in chapter 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherein his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Let me stop here for a second. Here, King Nebuchadnezzar has given, you see who he has turned to, sorcerers and all these things. He has given them an impossible task to figure out. He dreamed a dream, and he himself forgot the dream. He forgot the dream, and he wants them to tell him what the dream is and how to interpret it. It's an impossible situation he has given these people. And he goes on in verse 3. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. They of themselves, sorceries has to do with, you know, wickedness. You know, the unsaved mind cannot understand the Bible. And here these men, totally unsaved, you know, they say they will, but they can't. In verse 5 says, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. He forgot the dream. And it says, if ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. And you know, these kings, they mean exactly what he says he will do. He's going to kill them if they can't do it. Talk about an impossible situation, so you can see the situation that they're in. You tell me what it is. I forgot it. You tell me what it is, and you tell me what the interpretation of it is. Or else, this is what I'm going to do to you, to your houses and everything. And it goes on to tell us in verse 6, but if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of certainty that he would gain time. In other words, the king is accusing them of stalling. Yeah, you're just trying to buy time, you know, for you know, and these things, because he see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show the interpretation thereof. And the Chaldean answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldeans. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So the only time when we could understand anything, the true meaning and the spiritual things of the Bible, in other words, God has to give us understanding of it. God has to open our spiritual eyes to these things in the Bible. And in verse 17 of Daniel chapter 12, here you read about Daniel further on in. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. It was a secret, and the king's advisors could not understand it. And it goes on that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And God goes on. In verse 22, he revealeth the deep secret things. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So these things pertaining to the end of the world and judgment day, is only God can reveal it to the minds of his people. And there's many other incidents in the Bible that God shows us that, humanly speaking, of our own selves, no human being could understand of himself the calendar of the Bible unless God opened their understanding to it. And over in verse 46 and 47 of Daniel chapter 2, where we read in verse 46 and 47, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. So all these things in the Bible that was hid from our minds throughout the ages, especially regarding the time in which we live, God has to open the eyes of his people to it. So we can't take any credit for whatever we've learned or understanding the calendar of the Bible or all these time path that leads to May 21 as Judgment Day. Who can ever take credit for it? It didn't come from the mind of any human being. God has to open the eyes of his people to these great truth in the Word of God. It is humanly impossible. Look at Psalm 119, verse 17 and 18. Here God tells us, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes. See, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It is God who opened the eyes of his people to these things pertaining to the end of the world and May 21 is Judgment Day. He wasn't a human being. He inclines the heart of his people to study the Bible. And if we follow the methodologies God has laid down with us, given to us how to study the Bible, comparing spiritual things with spiritual and praying always, praying to God and beseeching him that he might open the eyes of his people to these things in the Bible that has been there. He hides it, and God's people will search it out. Will search it out. Now let's turn over to John. The Gospel of John. This is what I really want to get to today, but John chapter 14. God gives his people great comforting words in this as we wait upon the Lord. As we're waiting, we're in this time of testing and waiting upon God. May 21 was Judgment Day, and to many, seemingly nothing happened. But here God now, he comforts us as we read the Bible. In John chapter 14, verse 1, here he tells us, this is an encouraging words from God's word, the Bible, to us. Let not your heart be troubled. Should we be troubled or worried about what people say? And people poke fun at us, or you name it. Should we be troubled? How long, remember what I said earlier, how long are we in this life? We can't put up with a little teasing, a little, you know. I know it's difficult to live with families who are not, you've told them about May 21, in their eyes nothing happened, and you have all eggs all over your face, and you have to live with them every day. And they remind you from time to time, didn't you say this? Didn't you say that? Nah, ha, 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 and they laugh and poke fun and they walk away from you. Don't be worried. You know, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. So don't act as if something strange happened to you. We're in this life. You know, there are going to be these times where you're going to be look like, you know, you don't have a brain. But that goes hand in glove with the gospel. But here God says in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And Christ is God. If we believe in God, Christ says you believe in me because they are one. In my Father's house are many mansions. I looked up the word mansion. It has to do with dwelling. Dwelling, I forgot the other word that it said it meant. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, hear what God tells us? I will come again. No question. He says he will come again. Is God telling us something that is not so? Of course not. It's impossible for God to lie to us. God says he will come again. And he goes on to tell us nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. And he goes overboard to tell us that we're safe and secured in him. He's our refuge. He's our hiding place. Even physical death will not separate us from the love of God. Such assurance. All he had to do was say it once. One time. But no, God just goes on about how we're safe in him. He's our shield. And read through the Psalms and all these things. And then when a true believer dies like Lazarus did, he leaves his body and he's in Abraham's bosom. How safe he is. And God just goes on to tell us these wonderful, comforting words that we're safe in Christ. And it goes on, and he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's going to be a receiving on that day. Well, all the true believers are saved now, but is Christ going to come physically? Yes. It's going to be that physical last day when the graves of the true are going to be opened up and the true believers have been caught up and those who remain alive are going to be caught up. There's going to be a physical last day when he comes again. And he says he will come again and says that where I am, where God is, that where I am, there he may be also. Where is God? He's in heaven. He rules over all things. From eternity past to eternity future, he has no beginning, no ending. And God just goes on and on to tell us that he says he will come again. He's going to destroy this universe. The heavens of heavens are going to be destroyed forevermore. Look at the future of the true believers. Can't get no brighter than that. But in this interim, we wait upon the Lord. If you're a true child of God, your future is bright. What more else do you want? God is working all these things out. And he will bring our salvation to its completion on that last day when the true believers, we received our glorified spiritual bodies on that day. He will do it. So in the meantime, we continue to wait upon the Lord. We continue to wait upon him, and we continue to study the Bible. There is no other book that the true believer would want to study and to spend time in, not in a novel or something that some other person have written. It's the Bible is the most important book to the child of God. Whether you're reading something, you don't understand it, it is the Word of God. The Bible, as I said the last time I was up here, the Bible came from the infinite mind of Almighty God. You could spend a million years searching out the Bible and it will never come to the end, plumb the depth of the riches of the glory of God in it. So we just patiently wait upon God, and he will bring his salvation to fruition. He will do what he says. So we patiently wait upon Jehovah. We wait. We have need of patience. And he will do what he says he will do. He will do it. So what if we have to struggle a little bit in this life and we don't have this or that or this or that? No. What does the true believers look at? We don't look at these things. Remember what was this? Moses? He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. We're looking at a heavenly kingdom where everything is eternal. So this little short time we have in this life, we shouldn't complain about anything. Because God has given to us something that we don't deserve, which is salvation, which is infinitely more. It has no comparison to the things of this life. All you see in this life is going to be destroyed. It gets rusty. It gets old in this life. But for the wicked, that's all they will have. Let's look at another verse, and I'll stop in a second. Look at Psalm 145. Verse 14 to 21, and says, Jehovah upholdeth all that fall, he raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Jehovah is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. Jehovah is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And what is the desire of the true believers? It's to be with Christ. He will come again, isn't it? And he says here, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Jehovah preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. This is the lot of the wicked. God is going to destroy them on that day. They will never, never, never come into existence again. Never, never. This is their lot. In things of this life, that's all they're going to get. And here God is telling us that he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And he will hear their cry. But for the wicked, they don't have that great blessing and assurance that God will hear anything that they say. One last verse and I'll be done. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 6, I believe. Yes, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 6, it says, I'm going to break into the middle of the chapter here. In so much that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so would also be finished in you the same grace also. And I skipped over a lot of verses. But if you would look at Philippians 1:6, God says that he will finish the work that he has started in us. And he will complete it, our salvation at the end of the day. So just read that verse before. But God is going to finish what he's already started in us, which he has given us a resurrected soul when we become saved. And he's going to bring it to its completion when we receive our new bodies on the last day. Judgment Day. Okay, let's stop here and we're going to take a very short break. And in a few minutes, we're going to have our next speaker and go on. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together around thy word. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened the eyes of thy people to a great amount of information in the Bible. And oh, Lord, how thankful we are for you giving us this information from the Bible. Father, you told us May 21 was Judgment Day. And, oh, Lord, that would be enough for us. But you continue to show us things from thy word. And Seems that, Lord, we're so very close to the end, that last day, judgment day. But until then, O Lord, we ask that could it be that you will continue to open the eyes of thy people to the truth of thy word, whether it's about thy grace, about thy judgment, about any truth in the Bible, Lord, we ask. And we thank you for what you have given to us, Father. Father, we ask that you will be with us this day. And, O Lord, we just pray that could it be that all things may be done to the praise of thy glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.